I want to go back and I want to make sure you understand what conciliation is and how it differs from justification. And then I want to tell you how the world at large has been robbed of a vital piece of truth that has been obscured and even lied about by the Christian religion to keep the world at great tension, at great animosity and enmity against God, because they don't know what I read you yesterday and what I'm going to elaborate on today. And it's a crime of the highest order. It is ignorance compounded. Justification, you can hear the root word in there, it's just or right, being declared to be righteous by God. It is the act of a judge. God judged sin through Jesus Christ. He killed it through Jesus Christ, took sin to the grave, to the tomb, excuse me, with Jesus Christ, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, rose without the sin. So sin is no longer an issue for humanity. That's news you've never heard. And when people talk about eternal torment, and I keep saying, well, why is anybody going to be tormented for eternity? They say it was because of their sin. I said, okay, let's talk about sin. Do you remember this event? I asked them back in, it's around, 33 AD. There was the Son of God. Have you heard of this? That God's Son came into the world to take away the sin of the world? And then he went to a cross for that very purpose? We could talk about sin. We could talk about the possibility of sin wiping people out for eternity, in eternal death, if God had not sent a remedy for sin. Then we could talk about it. We could have this conversation if nothing had ever happened about it. And yet, God's own Son came to take away the sins of the world. And yet these people act like nothing happened. Well, everybody's still going to hell for eternity because of their sin. What happened to the cross? Anything? If you're to listen to these people, nothing happened. Nothing at all happened. Sin is still there. It's still weighing you down. You're still born in sin. God is still angry with you. Nothing was done about it. Well, they say Jesus Christ came for that purpose, but again, they demote it to a mere offer. And I'll continue to tell you that because it's a terrible crime. I'm going to tell you just how bad it is today. Justification is that your sins no longer count against you. This is actually the case for all humanity, but only those who come to a realization of that truth appreciate it and live in it, and it actually has a practical effect in their lives. This is what I'm going to talk to you about, peace. It's a practical effect, peace is. It changes everything. Justification is the work of a judge. God judged sin at the cross, and he says you're no longer guilty. And a person who's not guilty does not need to be forgiven. What are you being forgiven of? Exactly, not guilty. Okay, that's a judicial act. That's the activity in a courtroom. But now we're dealing with peace. Now we're dealing with a deeper issue. Now, a judge can very well declare you not guilty, but does that mean you go to lunch with the judge? Is the judge your best friend? We not only need sins removed, this is a prerequisite to an even greater boon, which is peace toward God. It's not that God's just sitting there with his hands crossed or his arms crossed saying, okay, I'm not going to reckon your sin to you anymore. It's just like, okay, thanks. You know, you're a little bit scared still, but you're thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But then he opens his arm and says, come to me. What? Hop onto my lap. What? This is conciliation. This is even greater than justification, although it is built on the foundation of justification. Romans 5 talks about it, but I'm looking at Romans 5 in my Bible, and I see that my page is torn. Half of my page is gone here. You can't see it. The lighting's bad. This looks like the original manuscript right here. Looks like the original manuscript. Look at that. So let me do my best here. Romans 5, while we were still infirm, still in accord with the era, for the sake of the irreverent Christ died. Much rather than, verse 10, if being enemies through the death of his cross, we're going, anyway, read that passage. Oh, I just found it. I found the missing piece. This may be the missing piece of the manuscript of Romans chapter 5. It looks like a Dead Sea Scroll, part of the papyri. I have part of the papyri here. All right. Oh, this might be from Romans 3. No. Conciliated to God. We are now conciliated to God. There it is. Conciliated to God. Much rather being conciliated. See, we are now much rather being conciliated to God. It says it right there. But go to Romans chapter 5 for yourself, and you will see that this is a greater thing. Now, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Conciliation is a big word. Don't let it scare you. It just means peace. Now, verse 18 again. All is of God, who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. And this is the blueprint. It's like a treasure map. It's right here. It's not cryptic. This is very plain language for Paul. I often get after Paul for not being very direct. But here he is very direct. He's giving us the dispensation of God making peace. He's giving us the word of how God made peace. That God was in Christ making peace with the world. Concordance says conciliating the world. But I'm going to put that in layman's terms. God was in Christ making peace with the world to himself and not reckoning their offenses to them and placing in us that word, placing in us that message. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors in this world giving a message that the Christian religion has totally screwed up because people are so upset in the world today because they are born believing that they're doomed. They are born believing that God is still a distant God. One of the key phrases here that I didn't emphasize yesterday was the world, conciliating the world to himself. We are ambassadors as of God entreating through us, and we are beseeching people. For Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. God's conciliated to you. But as of this point, for most of the world, it's one-way street. It's from God to humanity. This is our message. God likes you. Your sins, even now, aren't standing in your way. But I'm not a believer yet, these people might say. And you say, it doesn't matter. Did you hear that? It doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. This applies to you. Nobody knows this. God's peace is coming from him, emanating toward humanity. He's fine. He's open-armed. Why doesn't anybody know this? Because there are so few people heralding the conciliation, the peace that God has made with the world through the cross of Christ. Instead, Christians are giving a totally different message. They're giving the opposite of this message. In fact, a foundation of their message is God is not at peace with you. This message is just banging against the doors of people's consciousness. And yet there's a giant wall, like the Berlin Wall or the Great Wall of China, that keeps this apprehension from the consciousness of the world, and it is the Christian message. How ironic is that? The very people who are supposed to be the friends of God, the ones who are supposed to bringing this message that God is at peace with the world, they're the people who have built the freaking wall. They're the ones that have put the cloud bank in front of the sunshine. And so my job, our job, unfortunately, we have to first dismantle the wall. We have to blow away the clouds and say, you've been lied to your entire life. And if you set foot in a Christian church, the lies will begin. They do not know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the unknown passage. They think this only applies to believers. But it doesn't. This is something that applies universally to every person on the earth, in the world. God is at peace with them. And then when they receive our word of this fact, then they are conciliated to God. You see, God's conciliated to them. It's one way. The word conciliation is one way. And the King James will screw up this translation. The King James just puts reconciliation, even though there's two different Greek words, one conciliation, one reconciliation. They've totally screwed it up. And so they miss the beauty of this one-way, two-way thing. It's one way even for unbelievers. Even for unbelievers, it's one way. But again, Christians have built the wall, put a cloud bank in front of the sun so nobody knows about it. We come in, blow up the wall. That's why I'm crazy about this, to blow up the wall of Christianity. That say, there's an angry God. You need to appease him with your offering. Again, it goes back to the old covenant. You need to present an offering to God to appease the angry God. And what do Christians do? They paint the God of Mount Sinai. Yeah, there was a time when God was up at Mount Sinai and there was thunder and lightning and only Moses had the balls to go up there and face him. But that was before the cross. Why? This is so simple. Did anything happen between Mount Sinai and now? You wouldn't know it if you listened to Christians, the Christians who purport to be the teachers and the evangelists. Evangelists, what's the opposite of an evangelist? A malangelist, a bad news person. You're not what's your evangel? That God is upset at you and now you have to bring him a turtle dove or a sheep or an unblemished goat. You might as well say that, because what you're asking for is perfect human behavior.
Oh, no, Martin, we're not asking for perfect human behavior. We just ask that people can put their sin in suspension. Just suspend your sin long enough to do a perfectly righteous act, which is believe in God perfectly with perfect faith.
Oh, that's all I got to do? It's hard to do when Romans 3 says there's no one righteous, no, not one. So they got this giant wall that we have to blow up. We have to proclaim the message of the conciliation. So what is the difference between somebody who doesn't believe it and somebody who believes it? Well, obviously, huge. But not from the side of God. That's the amazing thing. From God's side, it's the same. It's the same with somebody who doesn't believe it and somebody who believes it. It's the same. The same principle when Jesus said, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. That verse is a harbinger. That verse is a suggestion that God's blessing comes irrespective of what people think of him. Right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And the unjust are pretty unjust. And yet God blesses, God gives them rain in this era. The era of Christ, the era of grace. This has happened subsequent to the cross. The cross was a major happening. Something happened at the cross that dealt with sin, that brought the smile of God upon the world. He's no longer the thunder and lightning God of Mount Sinai. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things? He talked about something as simple as a new birth that was taught by Isaiah back in Isaiah chapter 66. That's why Nicodemus should have known about it. Jesus is just like rolling his eyes. What? You're a teacher in Israel. Like, you're the cream of the crop. You're the cream of the crop. Okay, this conciliation, this peace that came through the cross of Christ, this is salvation 101. This is plainly stated in plain words in 2 Corinthians 5. Yet someone with a disposition that the disposition of condemnation and death and the law of Moses, they can't possibly see it. There's a filter on their eyes. They can't see it because of the filter. They love condemnation and they love death. I guess I have time briefly to go to Romans 3:22 with you. I've been wanting to do this for a while. This applies to the conciliation and also to the justification. Romans 3, speaking about the righteousness of God. Listen to this, Romans 3:21. Yet now, apart from law, righteousness of God is manifest, being attested by the law and the prophets, yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. That's critical. A righteousness of God comes through Jesus Christ's faith. Christianity emphasizes your faith, your faith, your faith. And they want to just, it's like they take a, they lower a fishing line into your throat with a hook and try to pull out some ounce of faith from you. And they play organ music and they try to guilt you into it. And they're just trying to bring up with their hook a little piece of faith from you. And why are you so stupid you can't even give a little piece? What's the matter with you? It's not about your faith, that's why. It's Jesus Christ's faith. It's for all and on all who are believing. That was my point. It's for all, Romans 3:22. But it's only on those who are believing. So it's for everybody. This goes back to 2 Corinthians 5, the sunshine. It's for everybody. But it's only on those who are believing it. So this stupid analogy that you've heard from Christianity for years, like
salvation is like a present. You get a present, somebody puts it on the table, but you have to open it. Unless you open it, you don't get it.
But that's the wrong analogy. That analogy stinks. The right analogy is that this is like a fortune, $1 million deposited in your bank account that now makes you rich. And you're rich whether you go into or withdraw the money or not. You're still rich. It's a fact. You're rich. The whole world, everybody at this shopping plaza, that guy, that person driving behind me right there, where'd they go? Yeah, well, they're conciliated. God's conciliated to them. God's at peace with them. They're rich. Their sins have been taken care of, and they don't even know it because they've probably been to church all their life. I should go out there with this camera and just tell them. I should do that. But I'm a little shy, as you can probably tell from this video. So it's for all, but it's on all. That is, the ones who are believing have an appreciation of it. It's like me telling you about your bank account. It's like, guess what? Like 2,000 years ago, somebody deposited $1 million in your account. You've been rich all this time, and you just need to know about it. That's all you need to know about it. And I show you your statement from the bank. And you go, oh my God, this has been true the whole time? It's been true the whole time. Why didn't I know about this? Because a bunch of people have been lying to you.